And Bruh.
Wow.
You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
There is one main question.
Why are you guys on the MLS?
But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
Go off, young king.
What? Record levels almost of house positivity. What?
Go off.
Yeah.
What?
Oh.
3 seconds left to go. Puck to the blue line. 2-1, and that'll do it. Number one for number 32, the first win in Kraken history. 4-3 the final. They knock off the Nashville Predators.
Here's the snap. Brady, play action fake, dropping, flushed out of the pocket. Looks toward the, throws the ball. Caught ball at the five. Antonio Brown, touchdown Tampa Bay. He made the catch, did a pirouette at the five, and dove into the end zone. And the Bucks take the lead at 13-7.
No balls, two strikes. And Flores, did he go?
He did! And the game ends! A swinging strike three!
No.
Gabe Morales rings him up. The game is over, and the Los Angeles Dodgers are headed to the National League Championship Series.
You blew it!
Here are your hosts, Mike Alford and Jason Bruff.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. It is Halford. It is Bruff. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
I've got whiplash from how much I've been shaking my head at that final call.
Oh, my gosh. What a terrible way to end a terrific series. But alas, we move on. We press on. There's so many things we have to get into that happened yesterday in the world of sports. Before we do anything, I want to say drive safely today, please. There is an incredible amount of standing water on our streets. They're calling it an atmospheric river, Jason, an atmospheric river.
Were you hydroplaning on the way to work?
A little bit.
Intentionally?
Yeah, even though there was nobody on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody to soak. Still did it.
Do you ever, if you see a big puddle and there's no one around it? Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever just like go for it?
I have.
Yeah. It's kind of fun, isn't it?
I regret it. Somewhat.
Why? It's fun.
In case you douse somebody accidentally.
Yeah, but that's why I said, do you look, you obviously look first to make sure that no one's walking beside it. And then you're like, I'm a little kid and I'm going to go and splash through this puddle.
Sometimes I've looked, sometimes I haven't. I've done it accidentally before.
You've doused someone?
I've done an accidental dousing.
Yeah.
It's not good. Halford and Bruff in the morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer. Today, we are also brought to you by the good folks at shopintercity.ca, shopintercity.ca. Steakhouse quality meals delivered to your door anywhere in Greater Vancouver. Use promo code SPORTSNET20 at checkout. $20 off your first order. The Regal Grooming Lounge poll question, maybe not our most inspired poll question ever, but a poll question nonetheless.
Yeah, who do you want to win the World Series? There's four teams left now. Did you even know that? How many people? That should have been our poll question. Did you know that baseball is down to the final four teams? Red Sox, Astros, Braves, and Dodgers. Who do you want? I voted for the Dodgers, and here's how I want to play it. Here's how I want it to play out.
Okay.
I obviously want the Astros to lose as soon as possible. So cheering for the Red Sox, a team from Boston,
wow,
to make it to the World Series. I don't want the Braves involved in any way.
Kind of boring.
The Canadian pitcher is not even pitching.
Yeah, just kind of a nondescript team.
So I want the Dodgers versus the Red Sox, Game 7, bottom of the ninth, assuming that LA's hosting.
Got it.
Mookie Betts, walk-off home run against the Red Sox.
Well, if it's a Game 7, they would be, right? Because the Dodgers and the Giants, which we'll get into, were tied for most wins in baseball last night.
But don't you think that's a rather attractive potential story?
Yeah, that's the best.
Mookie Betts versus the Red Sox?
That's like the best option right now.
Hey, you shouldn't have traded me.
I think that's the best, most enticing option. Also, two marquee glory franchises, right? All due respect to the Braves and the Astros. I mean, Red Sox, Dodgers.
No respect to the Houston Astros.
No respect whatsoever. That is the daily poll question brought to you by Regal Grooming Lounge, a five-star level barbershop experience. I almost said bubble shop experience, which is not a thing. Visit them online at regalgrooming.ca. Okay, what's coming up on this program today? We have a very, very busy show ahead. Four, count them, one, two, three, four guests. Beginning 6:30, Dan O'Connor, the play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants. Giants, 2-0 in the season, back in action on Saturday. They're hosting Kamloops. It's at the Langley Events Center. They have a chance, obviously, to move it to 3-0 on the year. So we'll talk to Dan about that at 6:30. 7 o'clock, Brady Henderson, our NFL insider, Seahawks insider from ESPN's NFL Nation. Seahawks, Steelers, Sunday Night Football, Geno Smith in primetime, Jason.
Do you know I'm starting to get sad when I think of the Seahawks now?
I'm not going to lie. I was less enthused about our weekly Seahawks preview this week than I have been in previous weeks.
So Brady, can Geno get it done?
It's just that they're going to have to make a specific game plan to try and squeak out a win. They're going to Pittsburgh.
It's
not going to
be lame.
It is.
It's going to be lame with Geno Smith at quarterback. I'm sorry, Dom. I know he's a hero of yours.
Hell no.
Yeah. One of the many heroic quarterbacks to play for the New York Jets.
He hasn't started a game in, what, 4 years?
I think it's been that long.
I think it's 2017 he last, and that
four
year,
years.
And that year he only started one, and I don't think it went well. You know my opinion on this. I think the Seahawks are cooked. I said it before Russell Wilson went down, and then he went down, and I'm like, there is no way they're making the playoffs this year.
7 o'clock, Brady Henderson to preview that game. 7:30, Max Crépeau, starting goalie for your Vancouver Whitecaps, who are also in action this weekend. Also, your starting goalie for your Canadian men's national soccer team. What a stretch he had filling in for Milan Borjan, who was out of the lineup due to COVID. Max comes in, clean sheet in Jamaica, concedes just 2 goals over 3 matches. What a terrific performance from Max, one of my favorite local athletes.
I was watching, did you see what I tweeted out yesterday?
I did not.
The video of the CBC news story on the 1986 World Cup team.
Correction, I did see that.
You did see that, yes. Right? I know, because I sent it to you and Martinego in text form.
I said, look at this.
It was something to behold, really. So what it was an archived news story from 1986, had like Steve Armitage in it. Yes. It was a sports reporter. I think everyone knows who Steve Armitage was. Again, this what's 1986? Is that what 35 years ago? 36 years ago now?
35
years ago, and they were talking about the Canadian World Cup team and how there was a brief excitement when Canada qualified, when they beat Honduras in St. John's. But I didn't remember this. I was 10 years old. After that, nobody cared. They had, you got to go to my Twitter account and watch this thing because it's kind of funny in a sad way.
Okay.
They had a parade in Vancouver because the team was training in Vancouver and had an exhibition game at BC Place before they went to Mexico. They had a parade that no one went to.
Really?
You didn't watch that part.
No.
You should watch that part.
Oh, my God.
When I send you stuff, you should watch it.
I tried to watch it.
And were you unable to watch it?
I have a short attention span.
Your attention span, would you get 5 seconds into it?
I'm like a gerbil.
Okay. So skip ahead, maybe 3 or 4 minutes to the parade part.
That's sad.
Where they had a parade and they had them all in these, you know, like 1980s convertibles. Like, these things were not good on gas. And they were parading down, I think it was Georgia Street, and obviously the city looked very different at that time. I was like, where's the TELUS building? But they were parading down Georgia Street, and like it looked like it was in the middle of a work day, and there were people just walking by and be like, hey, who are you guys? It was crazy how little people cared about this team. They also said they had an exhibition game, and they showed highlights of it. They played Wales in an exhibition game right before they left. It was like a warm-up.
Yeah.
There was like 7,000 people there. Nobody went to this game. Nobody cared about this team. It's very different now.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's very different now.
I mean, we're talking about a potential match in January, and it's what, October 15th? how hyped up we are. And we've been trying to get people on board with this as well. That seems like a far cry from 1986, though. That's crazy. So Max Crépeau at 7:30, as we discuss what he's done with the Canadian men's national team, what he's going to do this weekend as he returns to net for the Whitecaps. 8 o'clock, IMAX is going to join us. It is game day. Sportsnet 650, your home of the Canucks. 4 o'clock puck drop, an early one tonight. Canucks, Flyers, the Philadelphia Flyers home opener. So this is the second time that the Canucks are going to be on the road in someone else's barn for their home opener, and there'll be a third when they go to Seattle later on in this trip. So IMAC at 8, Max Crépeau, 7:30, Brady Henderson at 7, and Dan O'Connor at 6:30. That's big. NFL Locks of the Week today, we're going to do that. Ask Us Anything Friday, we're going to do a bunch of those. We mentioned Canucks Flyers. A couple other NHL games on the slate as well. And the aforementioned Boston Red Sox get the ALCS underway tonight against the Astros. So it's a big day. There's lots to get into, but we need to get into everything that happened yesterday. Dom, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
So, bit of an interesting Thursday night. Lots of sports, lots of sprots on the TV. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the baseball? Do you want to start with 9 games of NHL action? Do you want to start with Thursday night football? I'll ask you, my good friend.
I think we should start with the fact that the Seattle Kraken got their first win of the season. They beat the Nashville Predators 4-3.
Their first win ever.
Yeah, their first win ever, obviously. This team looks okay to me. Mm-hmm. They really do. Jared McCann scored again. They just look, I think they look like the team that's on paper, in that you're like, there's no superstars on this team, but they're deep, mm-hmm. and they're just solid. Depth makes so much of a difference. And this is the advantage that these expansion teams have. Because, first of all, they can afford the depth because they don't have any bad contracts on the books from mm-hmm. previous years of mistakes. And they're also going to get a relatively good player from most teams.
Yep. Like Mark Giordano, their captain. Or,
but he's not depth, right? Like
He's a frontline guy.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if there's one thing that you can do as an expansion team with these rules is put together a deep team.
You're talking about the Morgan Geekies of the world.
He
is a good player. And that was a guy that Ron Francis drafted in Carolina, and then they scooped him from Carolina in the expansion draft. So, Jason is right. The Seattle Kraken did win their first ever game in their brief NHL history, defeating the Nashville Predators 4-3 at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday night. Brandon Tanev, who's another nice little player for them, 2 goals. Wenberg, 1 goal. McCann, as you mentioned, a goal as well. Philip Grubauer, 27 saves for his first win as the Kraken starting netminder.
So a couple other games of note last night. You know how we've been making fun of some teams like Arizona, Buffalo, and Detroit?
Yes. They all featured prominently yesterday.
All 3 of those teams were in action, and some of them went as expected, and some of them didn't. The Buffalo Sabres smoked the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
5-1. Now, there's a few things that I noticed about this game.
Did you notice who was playing in net for Montreal?
Yes.
Sam Montembeau. Yep.
Didn't have the greatest game, especially early on. Ended up making 31 of 36 saves, which isn't great, but it's not horrific. The fact is that Montreal is now winless after 2 games. They just lost to Buffalo, and they allowed 36 shots to Buffalo. Another thing, I don't know if you noticed this, the attendance in Buffalo, I think it was just over 8,000.
John Vogel of The Athletic and Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News both were tweeting out pictures of what the crowd looked like. Now, sometimes you can take those shots from press row, and it looks kind of cavernous, but when they release the attendance figures, like, there is a overwhelming sense of apathy in Buffalo towards this team, which is sad because Buffalo doesn't have much going for it aside from the Bills and the Sabres. And that team has had diehard support for so long, but it just feels like it's been eroded and whittled and whittled and whittled away to the point where they're getting, what, 8,000 to 10,000? Now, granted, we are coming out of a pandemic. There are issues with a lot of people maybe not feeling comfortable wanting to go into full capacity buildings. But to have that minimal crowd going into a home opener with a team that everybody knows is designed to be bad, and the captain, Jack Eichel, sitting at home and no longer the captain because the C was stripped, it felt kind of sad. The fact that they recorded this victory, pretty resounding victory, 5-1 over the Montreal Canadiens, with very few people watching, it's just a sad state of affairs. I really do feel bad for the fans in Buffalo.
The Canucks are in Buffalo next week. Yep. Tuesday they play Buffalo. Do you think the Buffalo fans will pack it for the Canucks?
They love that Canucks rivalry. It's like you
and
I.
Put on the Canucks games.
It was like when we went to Philly to watch a Canucks play.
And it was just dead.
Yep.
Nobody cared about it. And we were all hungover from the Seahawks-Eagles game. Another thing that I noticed the other night, by the way, was that the Edmonton, the Oilers-Canucks game wasn't sold out in Edmonton. I think there was just over 16,000 people there. I was a little surprised by that. I wonder, let's say, and there's talk of this, let's say that the Canucks are allowed 100% capacity for their home opener October 26th versus Minnesota.
Yep.
Is that even sold out? I don't know. Has anyone tried to get tickets to it? Has anyone got, we can go on to the Ticketmaster site in a little bit.
And the just Ticketmaster. Check.
The Ticketmaster site.
I know. It's just sound. It was when you said it in those two words.
Okay.
It sounded
yeah, funny. You usually just say, just go on to Ticketmaster.
Why are you talking so much today?
Why? Why?
The Ticketmaster site. Yeah, exactly. And we'll see if there's like a bunch of blue dots all over the place. But see, now I've lost my train of thought. Because
Ticketmaster, Canucks, attendance, COVID across the league. I'm curious about it as well. When we get those sort of first week attendance figures after teams have had two or three home games, what they're going to be like.
So another bad team that was in action last night, the Detroit Red Wings, another team that the Canucks will see on this road trip. Saturday, tomorrow, they're in Detroit to play the Red Wings. The Red Wings need to work on locking games down.
Yep.
They somehow, had a 6-3 lead on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have kind of started this season a little bit of a who cares kind of way.
A little loosey-goosey.
A little loosey-goosey for the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. The Red Wings in the third period had a 6-3 lead, and then the Lightning scored at 13:43, and then they scored again at 16:25, and then just about a minute later, they tied the game at 6.
Three goals in 3 minutes and 58 seconds to send it to overtime.
And then, for good measure, they won it in overtime on an Andre Palat goal, 7-6. So that was a wild game. And last but not least.
You forgot that Tyler Bertuzzi scored four goals. Four. Count them, four.
Well, he's, you know, he's got to get his work in while he's in the States.
He's healthy.
The last but not least, I think the team that we've probably made fun of the most, in large part because a lot of Canucks have gone to Arizona. Mm-hmm. The Coyotes lost in Columbus by a score of 8-2.
Yeah. That was really bad.
This team is awful.
Who's their top line center?
Jay Beagle?
No.
Oh, really?
They just put the lines out. So
that's not true.
Arizona had tweeted out its roster for the game. And for some reason, they had Jay Beagle's line listed at the top. I did not watch the game.
No?
Jay Beagle only played 13 minutes, so I'm pretty sure he wasn't the
top.
For
the record, their top four centers are Nick Schmaltz,
who was -5 on the night.
Christian Fisher. Don't call me Bobby Fisher. That's a chess reference for you guys. Jay Beagle and Johan Larson.
Sounds like Jay Beagle's the top line center to me.
He's certainly got a shot at it. Now, here's the thing. Buffalo, designed to be bad this year, yet shows a fighting spirit, beats the Habs 5-1. Arizona, designed to be bad this year, gets pumped 8-2 in what might be a sign of things to come. They've got a rookie head coach. They've got a bunch of guys that have been thrown together in this mishmash of expiring contracts, young guys that haven't really proved anything yet, and old guys that are on their way out.
Andrew Ladd played.
Andrew Ladd and Phil Kessel were on a line with Christian Fisher.
Here's my question about the Coyotes, because I know they actually did end up putting quite a few shots on Elvis Merzlikens.
Yep.
Who's going to actually score? Like, you can put shots on net, but who's going to snipe?
Louis Erickson. Also, like, does Louis Erickson.
Does Phil Kessel have anything left?
Oh, I'm sure there's something left in the tank. If there's one guy I think that might be holding something in reserve.
What, for the trade deadline?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I only have so much battery life left in the Phil Kessel iPhone, so we got to save it. I mean, that's an inevitable trade, is it not? There's no way that they're going to hold on to Phil Kessel for the entire season.
I mean, someone's going to have to want him, though.
Yeah, I would imagine at the deadline, if you're looking for a little scoring punch, you could do worse than Phil Kessel. But that team is a disaster. Some other scores from
could look down the Coyotes lineup and be like, here's worse.
Other scores from last night, the Vegas Golden Knights get trounced by the Los Angeles Kings in the LA Kings opener. I watched that game. LA might be better than we thought. Remember we said they were kind of a wild card in that Pacific Division because they did add some guys, including Alex Edler, who played last night. It was really weird watching him not in a Canucks uniform. They took care of Vegas quite handily. The Panthers won their opener 5-4 over the Pens. Stars beat the Rangers in overtime. And the Canes kind of picked up where they left off last season. Offense was clicking, 6-3 win over the Islanders. So that's the NHL story. I suppose we need to get into the baseball and the football. Very interesting game last night. Game 5 between the Dodgers and the Giants. The two best teams in baseball, at least in terms of wins and in terms of record. It went down to the wire. Cody Bellinger, after a terrible regular season, has really come alive in these playoffs. Late single up the middle. Dodgers go up 2-1. They close it out in very controversial fashion in the ninth. So, do we have any audio from this? Would the audio even do it justice? I'll walk it up to what happened, okay? So, Giants first baseman Wilmer Flores is up with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Two down. Chris Bryant is on first base. Max Scherzer is in for the save.
Everything was reversed.
Two strike. Yeah. It was like all of a sudden Scherzer's out there to save a win. He's never had a save in his professional career before.
The closer was starting and the starter was closing.
So Bryant's on first base. Flores is at the plate. Two strikes on Flores. Now, don't get me wrong. Two strikes, two outs. The odds are incrementally small that the Giants are going to be able to pull this out, right? I mean, that's fair to say.
Yeah, for sure.
However,
that being said,
Flores really appears as though he checks his swing. We had a text thread going on between Jason Dom and myself. And when the swing happened, you first said, oh, he went around. And then you saw the replay and you were like, well, he absolutely did not.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear and concise that Flores did not go around. But he was called out, check swing. Third strike ends the game.
On the appeal to the first base.
In kind of anticlimactic fashion, to be honest. Let's hear how it sounded last night. Doyers win.
No balls, two strikes. And Flores, did he go?
He did! And the game ends! A swinging strike three!
No.
Gabe Morales rings him up. The game is over, and the Los Angeles Dodgers are headed to the National League Championship Series.
It's crazy now how we've been essentially, we expect all the right calls now.
Yep, we do.
This used to happen all the time, and there would be complaints about it for sure. Like, we'd be like, that was a bit of a bad call. I think back in the day, though, we were able to shrug it off a little easier.
Yep. Unless you were part of that respective fan base. Like, Don Denkinger in the 1985 World Series with the Cardinals and the Royals? I mean, that's an infamous call. But
well, I mean, you bring up Canucks fans still talk about 1989, right?
Like, yeah, Joel Otto kicked it in.
But I do think on a regular basis, like, we were able to just be like, bad calls happen all the time. Now, everything is expected to be reviewed. So my first thought was like, isn't that reviewable? Mm-hmm. And then my second thought was, shouldn't it be? It's the same with, I don't know if you've been, I don't know if you've noticed that there's no VAR in CONCACAF.
Right.
So there's been a couple bad calls against Canada, typical CONCACAF officiating. And I'm like, how is there no video review in World Cup qualifying, the final group in CONCACAF? everything we've just been like, we expect review now. Mm-hmm. And in the cases when there isn't review, we're kind of like, how is that not reviewable?
Because when you see the replay, I mean, everyone's like, injustice. It wasn't the right call. Is there anyone on the planet that thought they got it right last night? That was a blown call. In those big moments, that's why all the major sporting leagues have ushered in video replay. It's because you don't want anybody to walk away from the game feeling like they've been ripped off because of human error. But it's funny that you mention that, because in the past, sometimes officiating in human error has become the fabric of the game. It's become a narrative. I don't want to say romantic, but...
Oh, it kind of is in some ways.
You feel like you've been ripped off. You've been unjustly taken away from victory. And that's, I mean, again, in the grand scheme, the Giants only had one run. They were down to their last out and their last strike. Inevitably, Wilmer Flores could have swung and missed on the very next pitch if that had been called a ball. And this wouldn't have been a story whatsoever. Let's play the Gabe Kapler interview, the gaffer, the manager for the San Francisco Giants. Very gracious in defeat and not wanting to take the first base umpire Gabe Morales to task, Gabe Kapler, after his team was eliminated from postseason contention.
There are other reasons we didn't win today's baseball game, so that was just the last call of the game, and yeah, that's enough. High quality hitter at the plate that can climb back into that count. It's no guarantee of success at the end of the at bat. It's just a tough way to end it. Especially right now, there's no need to be angry about that. I just think it's just a disappointing way to end.
So our poll question today is, who do you want to win the World Series? 124 votes so far on Twitter. Most people replying, can you put on the Canucks game? 48% of people are saying they want the Dodgers to win. 32% saying the Braves. 14.5% saying the Red Sox. And then very few of you are saying the Astros. Why do you think people are picking the Braves? Has Soroka pitched all year?
No, he's out for the year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
but I guess he's still on the team.
Maybe it's just that they don't want to see
any of those other three teams.
Yeah, right? They're an NL team.
I can understand if no one wants to see the Red Sox or Astros win.
Yeah.
Right? And then the Dodgers are the big money, big market team. I mean, their pen and starting rotation alone costs approximately $1 zillion.
Aren't the Dodgers kind of likable, though, for a big money team?
It's a good question.
Yeah, because they lost for so long.
Yeah.
No, they are. But just the characters.
They are, but if you take a step back and you look at it, it's like, can we really root for this team that like went out and got Max Scherzer as a hired gun for all the money? I mean, they're not much different from the Yankees in that regard, really.
Scherzer is a bit of a wild guy.
He's intense.
Yeah.
They call him Mad Max.
Yes, they do,
that's,
Dom.
That's a good name for
him.
It's
good. Okay, we got a lot to get into on this program. Coming up, we're going to talk a little Vancouver Giants with Dan O'Connor, play-by-play voice of said Western Hockey League franchise. They're in action this weekend. The BC Lions are in action this weekend. The Vancouver Whitecaps are in action this weekend. It's a big weekend for local teams. Dan O'Connor at 6:30. Max Crapo starting goalie for the Whitecaps at 7:30. It's a big show. We got to do our NFL locks of the week. We got to do Ask Us Anythings. We have four guests. We got it all. And it's a Canucks game day, so don't go anywhere. You're home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650. On a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. I hope you're enjoying that atmospheric river out there. I'm really into that term, by the way. Atmospheric river. It's currently what we're undergoing here in the Lower Mainland.
Where did you hear this term? Is this an actual term? Or
I'm a big weather guy now. Okay. I have not one, not two, but three weather apps. My favorite is AccuWeather.
Okay.
I check the minute cast.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the many progressions into full-blown dad mode. Is when you're constantly checking the weather.
And talking about the weather?
Yeah.
You know the weather?
When you, after a dry spell and you go outside and you see the rain and you mutter to yourself, we sure needed that. You are in dad mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like your lawn, for example. You're probably monitoring the amount of moisture that the lawn is getting.
I put on some grass seed about a week ago and I think I left it too late.
Uh-oh.
I left it too late because it's too cold now. It's too cold to germinate, Mike. It's too cold to germinate.
Let it be known, that is the first germination reference we've had on the Halford and Brough Show.
October's been colder than I remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been
on record, it's been colder.
Yeah.
I don't care for it.
It's been bad for the germination.
But it's been good for staying inside and watching sports. Gotta admit, when you don't have to go outside and you can watch all the sprots that are on right now, it's pretty nice. Halford and Bruff Show in the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Get into hashtag TLX life like me, Mike Halford. Visit them now. Three locations to serve you better. North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, and Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. Also, shopintercity.ca. By now, all your Thanksgiving leftovers have been consumed. You need more food. Visit shopintercity.ca and use promo code SPORTSNET20 at checkout. You'll get $20 off your order. You know what else we need? Some sort of sinus-related sponsor to help me out. My sinuses have been a problem.
Got to get that Visage money.
Some neti pot, maybe. But the neti pot is so messy. There goes our neti pot.
I feel
money.
Bad for you, but I've had rhinitis for approximately 25 years, so.
What's that?
That sounds awful.
Sounds like you made.
My life is a nightmare.
Yeah. Sounds like a rhino is just following you everywhere.
Dang rhinitis. He's behind me again.
It's very frustrating. It's like seasonal allergies, but not all the time allergies.
Okay, I'm not familiar with it. This is sort of like the last couple weeks. You can probably hear my voice right now to the tens of listeners.
You don't sound any different.
Oh, I don't?
Nope.
Okay, good. Well, I've been dealing with, what's it called? Rhinitis?
No. I don't know if what you've got is rhinitis.
Rhinosaurus?
But I've had it for approximately 25 years, and it just never goes away. You know what doesn't help? Two cats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of shedding.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about this later. We have business to it. I didn't even know you had this.
It's also called rhinorrhea.
Rhinorrhea? That's a thing? Is that a thing? Joining us now, no doubt thrilled to be involved in this conversation, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants, Dan O'Connor here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Nice to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, good to hear from you again. Sorry, we got distracted there, Dan.
I'm arguing with Dom. He's like, it's called rhinorrhea. It's called rhinitis.
No, that's not what I said.
Dan, we're going to focus on the task at hand here. The Giants are back in action this weekend. It's a Saturday puck drop against the Kamloops Blazers. Two consecutive wins for the Giants to start the season. 5-0 over Victoria, 6-4 in the home opener over Prince George. It's a brief sample size, but what's been the story of the season thus far over those first two wins of the season for the Giants?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, what a thrill it was to play a hockey game in front of some fans last Friday, a week ago. It was a breath of fresh air and a highly anticipated return to normal-ish, I guess you could say. That was certainly a story in and of itself, but this Giants team, this season, guys, they're going to score goals and they're going to be fun to watch. This is a team that, when they're fully healthy, they're going to have three signed NHL forwards playing every night. And, you know, add that with just a fairly solid, depth-filled forward core, an NHL-drafted goaltender in Jesper Weitman, and a defense that I think has played well, certainly early on, albeit in that small sample size. A lot of divisional opponents this season, obviously, just based on sort of the scheduling regulations. But the main emphasis is that this team is going to be fun to watch, they're going to be entertaining, and they're going to score a lot of goals this season.
What are the expectations results-wise for this club? Because you mentioned that first line is very dynamic. They've got a lot of NHL-drafted talent on the roster. They've got a bit of experience of making a run in the postseason. So from your vantage point, what are the expectations for this Vancouver Giants club this year?
I mean, obviously it's still very early, but I think internally there is an expectation and the thought process that has the Giants being right there in the mix with the top teams in the entire conference. I mean, if you look at the BC division, I think that the Kamloops Blazers, the team that is going to be in the building tomorrow night for the first time, they're the two-time reigning division champs. They are the quote-unquote early favorite. But I know that there's belief in the Giants room. I know that there's belief in the front office. And I think there's belief throughout the WHL that the Vancouver Giants, based on that experience that you alluded to, based on some of the recent successes that the Giants have had in past years, that there's no reason why they can't be right there. And I think that the hope and the expectation, certainly from where the Vancouver Giants sit, is that any BC Division Championship is going to have to go through Vancouver, and any kind of route to a WHL final. I think the Vancouver Giants, sorry, will have a lot to say about that as far as the BC Division component of that is concerned.
Dan, I'm looking at the Kamloops Blazer roster. Is Dylan Sidor Daryl's son?
Yes, he is, actually. And
so how did he end up on the Blazers? That seems like a nice coincidence for them.
Yeah, so Daryl Sidor is actually one of the four, there's a number of NHL alumni that are a part of the Kamloops Blazers ownership group, and Daryl Sidor is one of them. Jerome McGinley, Mark Recchi, Shane Doan, and Daryl Sidor and Tom Gallardi are all a part of that Kamloops ownership group. And and the young Sidor is off to a heck of a start, but he is not alone on that Kamloops roster. They have scored the lights out early on.
We're speaking to Dan O'Connor, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. It is the Giants and the Blazers on Saturday, 7 o'clock puck drop. We had Michael Dick on the show last week, if I'm not mistaken. We talked about that top line. I think everyone is pretty familiar with Justin Sortif. We talked a little bit about Adam Hall. I'm curious about Fabian Lysell. He's one of those first-round picks that you talked about, the 21st overall pick in this year's draft by the Boston Bruins. Michael Dick was raving about the kid's talent, and you know, he said he'll get you out of your seat with the excitement level that he brings. He missed last game. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's due to be back. Can you talk a little bit about Lysell and what he brings to this team?
Dynamic, skill, flashy, and I think Michael alluded to it perfectly when he was last on that, you know, he does have the ability to bring fans out of their seats, and he's the kind of player that has you talking as you're leaving the building. You know, has just that unique sense about him where when he's on the ice, you can't help but notice him. And, you know, by all accounts, I think the hope is that he's going to be good to go for tomorrow night. And, you know, when you sort of look at what the return of Fabian Lysell means to the Vancouver Giants lineup, I mean, it's another weapon in the weapon belt for the Giants, who have a Kamloops Blazers team who have no shortage of dynamic, talented NHL caliber forwards and players on their roster too. But I mean, I think what Fabian Lysell's return does to the Giants is it just opens up more depth possibilities. It opens up more power play possibilities. The incentive for fans to come and watch the game and get a ticket to watch him play. You know, when you look at Fabian Lysell, when you look at Justin Sortif, when you look at Zach Ostapchuk, Adam Hall, Peyton Mount, I mean, Ty Thorpe, I mean, this is as good a top six as you're going to find in the entire WHL. And that to me is certainly worth the price of admission. And I think you add the rivalry component and Fabian Lysell's first showdown with the Kamloops Blazers, it's looking like it could be a really intriguing weekend.
It is the Blazers and the Giants. Giants looking to move to perfect 3-0 on the year. 7 o'clock puck drop Saturday night at the Langley Event Center. Go to VancouverGiants.com right now to get tickets. Dan, thanks a lot for doing this today. Enjoy the game this weekend. I'm sure we'll be doing this again real soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Appreciate you and have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks. That's Dan O'Connor, play-by-play voice of the aforementioned Vancouver Giants here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Reminder, it is Ask Us Anything Friday on the program. This is where we kind of kick back and relax and get wacky. It's the Kooky Morning Show. Do you have anything that you'd like to address right now?
Nothing that kooky, but Aaron in Pemberton has an Ask Us Anything. He said, down the road, could you see Will Lockwood developing into a premium shutdown winger? Speed, physical, et cetera, et cetera. I could see him shadowing McDavid around all night. They don't really shadow players anymore in the NHL.
It's hard.
Like Steve Kasper used to shadow Wayne Gretzky all the time. That was kind of the famous one. He played for the Boston Bruins. I remember seeing a cartoon by Dave Elston, who was this great cartoonist for the Calgary Sun. And it was, again, I'm dating myself here because I'm talking about a cartoon that appeared in a newspaper.
Yeah.
But it was Wayne at his wedding to Janet Jones. And then Steve Casper was hooking Wayne Gretzky at the altar. Like, he was that much of a shadow. That's why it was funny.
He was at the wedding. He went that far. Brandon Dubinsky used to be one for Sidney Crosby as well back in the day.
But not to that extent.
Not to the Casper.
Now, am I optimistic about Will Lockwood for his potential to be, say, a Yannick Hansen type? Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Canucks have a few potential guys that could be like that. I mean, Tyler Motte already is.
Yep. I see more Lockwood being like Tyler Motte. That's my joke, right? It's like you're out with your mom and you're like, can we buy some Tyler Motte? And we're like, no, we got Will Lockwood at home. Like, we don't need any more of this, right? Like,
right.
That's it. Or it's the other way around, whatever. But the point being, I think that's more of a projectable for Lockwood. I'll say this. The biggest concern you're going to have with the guy is if he can stay healthy. Because he has a very reckless side to his game when it comes to the speed in which he can travel and the force in which he arrives. And that often, I mean, it was an issue at Michigan because he had shoulder problems. And usually guys like that aren't going to change their style when they get to the NHL. In fact, they're going to go faster.
You were on the Will Lockwood beat when he was at Michigan.
Don't remind me. I went back and looked at some old athletic articles the other day. I was on a lot of really bad beats.
Yeah.
Was on the
Who was the head coach in Michigan that always took your calls?
Mel Pearson. Personal friend of mine.
This guy called Mel Pearson probably twice a week any article.
Also Trent Cull. I talked to Trent Cull a lot when he was in Utica because he had nothing else to do. He's like, I'm in Utica. I'll take your call.
Yeah.
Willie Desjardins took a lot of Willie quotes in those pieces.
And for the record, after Willie had been fired.
Yeah, not employed Willie. Just hanging around waiting for my call, Willie.
I've never actually seen so much written on Will Lockwood.
All right.
Like you were the expert in Will Lockwood. So once he gets into the lineup, you should know everything about him.
I know the type of surgery he had on his shoulder. I know everything.
Halford and Brough, ask us anything. Unsigned. I don't know why people are so excited about Garland's play in game one. Reminded me of our typical small forwards. Lots of buzz, but pushed off the puck easily and zero finish. Your thoughts? I didn't think Garland played all that well in game one, but this is a guy that has done it before in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, he has a record of success. With all small forwards, you are occasionally going to get pushed off the puck.
Right.
The Canucks, I think the biggest thing for the Canucks right now is finding the right spot for him to play. Who's he going to be with? That was an issue with Louis Erickson. I know Louis's play fell off in a big way, but I remember talking with Trevor Linden about this, actually, and Trevor Linden admitted, we haven't found a place for Louis to play yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, he came in and everyone was like, oh, he's going to be so good with the Sedins. And then they had a few shifts together, and people remembered, wait, none of them can shoot.
Yep. There was at length when Louis first came aboard.
Yeah. We had the garbage man joke about Louis. So the type of player that Louis needed to play with was, someone who was a shooter, had a hard shot that's going to create rebounds, and he's going to be able to, do the garbage man routine in front of the net and bang in some pucks. But, like, what is, like, Henrik going to rip one onto the goalie, and the goalie's going to be like, oh, that was too hot to handle.
Got
to
kick that one out into the slot for Louis.
So that ultimately didn't work, and it didn't last for very long. And then there was no one else for him to play with. So the Canucks, I think there's definitely more potential for Connor Garland to find someone that he's going to fit with on the Canucks, because I think this team has more offensive talent. But for now, I don't know where that is.
Yeah, but I have zero concerns about this. Also, the funny thing, was it an unsigned texter or did it have a name?
Unsigned.
Classifying Garland as a small forward is fair. I don't think he plays small. Like, I actually, did the research and went back and looked at a
you
lot.
You talked to Mel Pearson about it.
Right. Mel Pearson's like, who's this guy? Garland is very gritty. And he goes to the front of the net a lot for a guy his size. Mm-hmm. One of the most famous goals he scored in Arizona, as a matter of fact, is the one that banked off his face and went into the net. And he was gashed wide open. He's very adept at getting into those quote-unquote greasy areas, but also with the hands and the skill set to make nice moves in tight. So
let's give him 10 games, okay? And then if,
I'm
then
not really worried.
Then after 10 games, if the Canucks haven't really found a spot for him or he just doesn't seem to be playing his best, we'll revisit this conversation. But just a reminder, like, this is a guy that scored for Arizona and nobody scored for Arizona.
We're going to have a, as Dom put it, really bad nub coming up, but don't go anywhere. Before we get to the nub, Jason needs to tell the fine folks about ZLC Financial.
The official financial sponsor of Halford and Brough is ZLC Financial. It's your one-stop solution for all your financial and retirement needs in Vancouver. These guys do it all. That's why we call them a one-stop shop. Tax planning, financial planning, employee benefits, wealth accumulation, wealth preservation, corporate and shareholder risk mitigation. I don't even know what that is, but they sure do at ZLC Financial. To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.
.654 on a Friday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650.
Did it just get sexy in here?
It sure did. So sexy. It's Ask Us Anything Friday on the program. Tyler with a very appropriate one, given the tunes. Ask Us Anything. Would you rather, be above average at dancing or playing an instrument, like the saxophone, perhaps? The answer is instrument, like 100 times out of 100. What's being above average at dancing going to get me at 42 years old?
Exactly.
Am I going to get, like, suddenly get on the ballroom dancing circuit?
Wouldn't it be TikTok money? Isn't that the reason to be good at dancing now? TikTok money?
I'm glad you brought this up, because to you two, this is George Michael's Careless Whisper.
Yeah.
To the youths of the world, this is that TikTok song that's really hot right now.
Are they doing dances to this now?
Yeah.
Ah, the TikToks.
Do you know, I downloaded TikTok, and then I looked at it, and I was like, I guess I'm going to have to follow a bunch of accounts. It was way too overwhelming, so I just deleted the app. I'm like, nope, I'm good with Twitter.
Yeah, this is enough social media for me. Thank you very much.
I have Twitter and Instagram. Ask Us Anything from Langley Fun Guy.
Hey, Fun Guy in Langley.
He goes, all right, I'll put you guys on the spot. Do you think either Horvat or Miller will be traded before their contracts are up? Langley Fun Guy writes, I don't think they both will resign due to cap restraints. However, I'm not opposed to trading JT. And it goes on. I'm with Langley Fun Guy here. I don't think they'll both be re-signed. I don't think the Canucks will be able to afford them.
The question is if they'll be traded by the time their contracts expire, though.
That's a tough one. I think it all determines how the Canucks are doing. Like, if the Canucks are, let's say we get to this off-season and the Canucks have just had a terrible season, and there's a new general manager.
How's the positivity?
No. I'm just throwing out the possibilities here. Maybe you move JT Miller then, because maybe you're looking at another area of your roster and going, we can use this guy to address that.
Yeah.
The other way would be next season. Maybe the Canucks aren't in the playoffs, and he's traded at the deadline. Like, that's a simple way of looking at it. If they're good, if the Canucks, I mean, are good, it might be that they just keep Horvat and Miller, and maybe they're not able to re-sign them.
Of the two, I would say Horvat, just because he's been here his entire career and he's the captain, probably less likely to be moved or let go.
Yeah, and he's a little bit younger too.
But Jason's right. Once you get into that final year of the contracts, which, by the way, is next season, all the typical questions and media poking and prodding and speculation about the future, that comes to the horizon. That it's just inevitable, right? But, and if you've got two guys of that significance, a large part is going to be how the Canucks are doing, how they project to do in the season coming. Okay, big 7 o'clock hour on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. It is a Friday. Brady Henderson is going to join us in just a few minutes. The Seahawks, the good news, they're on primetime, Sunday Night Football. The bad news, it's with Geno Smith at quarterback. We're going to talk to Brady Henderson from ESPN's NFL Nation about that. Max Crapo is going to join us at 7:30, coming off another very successful World Cup qualifying cycle with Canada, in which he started all three matches in net. Max Crapo at 7:30. That's coming up next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.